You know, I enjoy doing this. I do this with a passion. This is great.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When Pastor asked me to do Sunday school, I kind of froze. Not the best at talking in front of people, but I really would like to do my Savior proud.
Amen.
So when he asked me, like, what am I gonna talk about? Not one clue. Till the beginning of this week, and he asked me a couple weeks ago. I kept thinking and thinking, oh, what am I gonna do? Even when I called Jeff up, I'm like, I think I got what I'm gonna do. And this week, after listening to a lot of sermons and different things, today's lesson is called, What is Your Name? As a parent, I've had the privilege of naming four kids with my wife. And each kid's name was thought over and thought again. And my wife, Em, has written it down many times before the kid was even there. She wrote it down. Does that look okay? Does it sound okay? A lot of thought was put into names. And I'm sure each one of you guys that's had kids have thought the same thing. A name is important. A name goes with a person their entire life. And after doing some research, I found one thing that was interesting, that there was a study actually done on children's names or people's names, and if the name was undesirable or had a bad meaning, they were more likely to get into trouble and more likely to be into different sorts of crime just by going off of their name. So we're going to look into four people, and each one of these people start with the same letter. I said start with the good Baptist tradition, 4 points, same letter. Our first name, we're going to go to Genesis 25, and we're going to read a couple verses. Genesis 25, starting in verse 20. Our first name is Jacob. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and the two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. I'd like to take a moment to pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this opportunity to look in your word and to see what is in there for us. I ask for your blessing and for your strength this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob and Esau couldn't be two more different people. I see Esau as one of the blue-collar people of today. People that go out and work hard, love to hunt, love to provide for their family. And I looked at Jacob and his description of Jacob. He was plain, fair skin. He's one of the lawyers, the ones that's looking into the fine print, how they can take away what isn't theirs. Jacob's name means supplanter, or you can interpret it to be usurper, someone who cheats or takes or seizes what is not his. And it started from the very beginning. He was grabbing at Esau's heel the moment he come out, trying to get ahead, advance himself. And their mother knew it from the very beginning. And she prayed to God, why? Before they even born, you're sending me two boys that are going to fight already. And I just can imagine the heartache and the just prayers that the mother and the father just went through for the kids day after day, knowing that they were going to be two different people in two different nations. We're going to skip over to Genesis 27. I got a lot of verses today because I just want to try to cover it all. Genesis 27, we start with the most well-known of Jacob stealing. And starting in verse 1, it said, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. So here's Isaac coming to the end of his days, and he wants to pass on the blessing that these people have. That God had a blessing for each child, and he would pass it along through each of the children by the father. Now he says, take therefore, I pray thee, weapons and a quiver and thy bow, and go out in the field and make me some venison. Isaac wanted to taste venison one more time before he died. He wanted to have that one last meal. Make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau's son, Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah said unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. So you can see that Isaac had his favorite kid, and Rebekah had her favorite kid, and I don't think it helped the situation at all. So you have Rebekah saying, hey, here's your chance. Here's your chance. And so she tells Jacob, go to the flock. In verse 9, go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And she goes in verse 10 and says that he can eat it, that he may bless thee before his death. So Rebekah's aiding in the stealing of the first blessing. So even though God told her that's what was going to happen, she was putting her hand in it as well to make sure that it would happen. Jacob states the obvious in verse 11. Esau is a very hairy man, and I am a smooth man. And we see as we keep reading that Isaac knew the deceitfulness of Jacob and knew that if that were to happen, you know, he's got to feel around, make sure his arms were hairy, just like Esau. So he knew Jacob was a cheater. He knew Jacob would try to do something, and he was expecting it. And Jacob's like, well, what am I going to do? If he finds out that I'm trying to steal this blessing, he'll bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said, the curse, thy curse
And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And we see, if we skip down a couple verses, he gets him dressed up. He puts the skins of the kids upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And he gave him the savory meat. And he said, Go to your father, deliver this food to him. And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. So instantly Isaac's suspicious. Wow, you found a venison already? That was really quick. Anybody who's hunting knows that most of the time that deer's not right there right when you want it. It's usually... I went hunting first day, and I'm down in the woods for a couple hours, and come back, and Zeke's like, oh, there was a deer in the front yard. I walk all the way down the woods, there's a deer right in the front yard. So Isaac knows instantly, wait a minute, this was too fast. So Jacob tells a lie. He said, the Lord thy God brought it to me. He lies and says, well... He brought the deer right to me, and it was there. You'd never believe it, but the deer was waiting for me. He wanted me to get it right then and there. And Isaac says unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So Jacob went, and he felt the places where Rebekah had put the skins of the goats. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hand. So Esau was so hairy that he felt like a goat skin. And he says again, Art thou my very son Esau? And he says, I am. So here we have Jacob deceiving his father for the blessing. And Jacob lived up to his name, the deceiver, the one who seizes what isn't his. And we remember Jacob took Esau's actual birthright when Esau was hungry. So this is not the first time. It probably wasn't the second time. Jacob probably his whole life was trying to get at Esau and try to get what Esau worked hard for. And take it. But God had a plan. So after this whole situation, of course, Esau wasn't happy. Esau was angry, and he was so angry he wanted to kill his brother. He had to hold him back. They had to tell him. He said, after this, Rebekah said, you know what, you probably should get out of here. Probably should leave. You got the blessing, get the blessing and go. So he got the blessing, and his mother says, it's time to go. So Jacob travels and travels to this place where his mother told him, go to your uncle Laban's house. Jacob finds himself working for his uncle Laban. Jacob spends 7 years of his life there to work for a woman he loved, Rachel. So Jacob gets there, and he sees, okay, there's this, I love this woman, she's amazing. You know what? She's worth 7 years. 7 years of hard labor. 7 years of doing what needed to be done to marry this woman. But we see, we skip over to Genesis 29. Verse 1, we'll start with his meeting Rachel. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the lands of his people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep laying by it. And out of that well, they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stones again on the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. So he skipped down, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone down from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. You see, Jacob, he's showing off already. Laban's daughter's coming. Here, let me roll this away for you. Let me help you. He's already trying to get in good, trying to make himself look good, trying to show that he's a hard worker, so that when Laban's daughter comes back, look, Dad, look at this guy I found. He's such a hard worker. He helped me feed and water the sheep. You really ought to meet him. Then Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and he ran and told her her father. So I imagine he did that on purpose. He helped her first, then he told her who he was, and then she ran off and told that family was coming. Laban greeted him, you know, the usual family greeting. And then, as I said before, we can skip down, and his description of Rachel. It says, And Laban had two daughters, in verse 16, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give you her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served the 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now he was just swooning. He couldn't wait. And so those 7 years were nothing. But we know Jacob gets a taste of his own medicine. He works those 7 years. He sweats. He probably, you know, hurts. His muscles hurt. You know, he works hard, and only to be tricked by Jacob's uncle Laban. Only to be tricked. He must have been so happy that day that he was love blind. I don't know. The different customs. He didn't realize that he married the wrong woman. So he goes out, and Jacob was not to be dissuaded. He wanted to marry Rachel. So he said, I'll work another 7 years. I'll work another 7 years. It's worth it. And in total, he worked 14 years to get the woman he loved. Finally, Jacob fulfilled his week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. Finally, he got it. He went through a taste of his own medicine. He got tricked. He was deceived. Jacob was used to being the one deceiving. But in the end, he got what he wanted. Now we're going to skip over to Genesis 32. Verse 22. This is the start of Jacob wrestling with an angel. So in 22, it starts off that he's packing everybody up and passing over the ford Jabbok. And he took them over the brook. And Jacob was left alone. He wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Jacob's looking for another blessing. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" But Jacob's like, "Who are you? Who am I fighting? Who is this?" And he's like, "I'm not going to tell you." He says, he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. So Jacob knew who it was. Jacob knew he was with God. And he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." He fought and wrestled with God, and he didn't die. So he named the place, and he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He was lame. He limped, and he was never the same. He saw God. God blessed him, but he wasn't the same. And I can tell you, if you meet face to face with God, you won't be the same. Therefore, the children of Israel, see, his name's changed. It didn't say the children of Jacob, the children of Israel, eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and his sinew that shrank. So, there we have it. I don't know of another place in the Bible where someone's fought with God. I might be wrong. I could be corrected later, but never a man that has fought with God and lived and, you know, his life was preserved. So Jacob gets his blessing. We're going to skip over to Genesis 35. All this while we know what Jacob's name means. He's a cheat. And here we have in verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And he journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrah, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. She named him Benoni. Benoni means son of my sorrow. If that's where I had. She travailed and she died and she sorrowed and called him Benoni. But Jacob says, "Nope," called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, or in other words, my favorite son. Jacob said, "No, he's not going to have a name that has negative meaning or out of a negative circumstance." So he says his name's going to be Benjamin. Jacob, I think, knew what life was like with a name and what names mean and what his life was full of cheating. I believe that Jacob knew that Benjamin needed a different name. And Benjamin needed to be started off the right way. Verse 19 says, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which was Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that was a pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day." That's how we see the end of the woman he loved, the woman he decided to work 14 years for. And he wanted the end to start into a beautiful new beginning. Now, we're going to skip over to our next name. We're going to go to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 4. First Chronicles 4:9. Our second name is Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. So here we have Jabez. His main name means, "I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez, I can imagine, just wondered why his mother named him that. Jabez knew what he needed to do. He knew that he needed to call on God. He knew that if he were to succeed, he would need God's blessing and God's hand in his life. And in his prayer, he said, "Oh," he's seeking a blessing, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Now, in Israel, each family had their own set of land. There wasn't buying up of land and taking from your neighbor permanently. Every 7 years, everything was returned. Everything was given back that was taken. So in order for Jabez to have his coast enlarged, he'd have to go out and get new land that wasn't in Israel. Jabez asked for strength to conquer his enemy. So in order to go out and enlarge his coast, that his hand would be with him, he needed God's working to be with him to go conquer what the enemy had and had taken. And I thought that was a very interesting idea, that Jabez wanted to conquer the land that the enemy had taken. And put that into our own lives, that there is land that the enemy has taken from you. There's land in your heart or in your life that the enemy has taken control and has put a foothold and has been holding on to you, or you're holding on to something that you need to let go. And here we have Jabez asking God to be with him to conquer what the enemy has taken. I didn't have much on Jabez, but I just thought it was interesting that here you have a man who has a not so great name, a name with sorrow, but a man who knew that he needed to go to God to change his circumstances. We're going to our third name, 2 Kings 22. We have not a man but a boy. 2 Kings 22 and verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adadiah of Boscath. Verse 2, I believe, is one of the most important verses deciding what Josiah does. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. His vision was straight. He was right where he needed to be. Josiah's name means God supports and heals. We have an 8-year-old king who was put in the midst of kings who didn't do what was right. And I think it probably was a daunting task, even especially for an 8-year-old boy, to come in the midst and to try to clean up and repair what has been left to the side. When Josiah was 18, he sent for the scribe of the house of the Lord. Now Josiah is interested in making Israel come back to the ways that they were commanded. We go to verse 8. They find this book. It's interesting. Back in those days, they lost the book. And in times when you're not on the right path, the book, the Bible, is not on your radar. It gets lost, it gets dusty. And then when you get brought back, you're like, there's this book. If I had been reading it this whole time, I might not have gotten off this path. I know it's not might have, it's I would not have gotten off this path. So he sends for the book, gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it, and Shaphan the scribe came unto the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and have oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And when the king heard the words of those books, he was upset. He realized that they messed up, and they messed up bad. It says, he heard the words of the book of the law and rent his clothes. He was just so, he tore the clothes, he was upset. I can just see him, he's just beside himself, he's crying, he's upset, and he's realized what they've done and how far they've come off the path. And if we were to keep reading the rest of the book, the rest of the chapter here, he goes through the book, he goes through it, and he says, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to clean this up. Clean up our act. Let's get back to the way that we need to be. In chapter 23, he reads the law to the elders, of Judah and of Jerusalem. He starts at the top. He gets the elders. He says, this is what the book of the law says. This is what we're supposed to be doing. The priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, he called everybody. He says, guys, this is what we need to be doing. I found the way to go. I found the truth. Come on, let's read this together. Let's find this out. He read the book in all their ears, the words of the book of the covenant, which is found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and the testimonies and his statutes with all their hearts and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that was written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They stood up and agreed. So here we have Josiah, a king, 8 years old, whose name means God supports and heals. So God had his name. God had his name perfectly picked, perfect for the time. God supported and God healed and Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Go to our last name. Hopefully you guys can guess who I picked for the last J. Jesus. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The birth of Jesus marked in this time of history all of everything coming together, the culmination of everything. Jesus was and is the focal point of our lives. And here we have in Matthew, everything coming together, everything working perfectly together, the deceitfulness of Jacob, Jabez calling upon God, Josiah following and doing that which was right. It all comes together looking towards the perfect Lamb of God, the one who is to free Israel, but ultimately much more than Israel, to save the lost and dying sinners of this world. So Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who's going to save us. He's here. He's finally here. He's finally showed up. And it says, as the prophet saying, so it's been prophesied, it's been talked about. I can imagine that everybody that knew about the prophecy in Israel, all the women, all the girls, all probably thought, what if it's me? What if it's me to bring the Lamb of God? What if it's going to be me? And here it is, it's Mary. He's picked Mary, and I'll just keep going. It's I find it just incredible that God would use just people like us, people like Mary, an ordinary Jewish girl. I find it very incredible. So Jesus came here for one purpose. It was for my sins that he died. And I put together a couple verses. I wrote them down here so you guys don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to read them off here. Who Jesus is. John 8:58, before Abraham, I am. Exodus 3:14, God told Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall ye say to the people, I am sent you. John 6:35, this is who he is. This is who Jesus is. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way. John 15:5, I am the vine, and we are the branches. We can go on and on. We can go through prophecy, Bible prophecy after prophecy. There is no end to the validation of who Jesus is. There's no end. You can go through there. It's proven backwards, forwards, up and down. Jesus is who he said he is, and he has never lied. He's never deceived. He has never tried to cheat us, and in no way. You can go from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is the very reason for our existence. I can't describe him enough. To conclude, it really doesn't matter what your name is. In the grand scheme, doesn't matter who you are right now. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what your experience is. But what matters is, does the great I Am know your name? Has I Am written you down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has I Am covered you with his precious blood? Has I Am risen the third day for you? And when you pass from this world into the next, will I Am be waiting for you upon your arrival and see you covered in the blood of Jesus? And will he say, you look just like my son? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. It matters your eternal destiny. It matters what you do when you leave here today. And I urge you today, if you've not known the great I Am, today is the day of salvation. Pray. Father, I thank you for this morning and to be able to look into your word and to see names and what they mean, but to know your name, Jesus, is the most important thing, and for you to know us. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless and that you would save and bless the services to come today. And I ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Please turn with me in your red hymn book to number 348. Still traveling for the morning service. I pray that you would be with the pastor as he brings a message, that it would speak to each and every one that is here. I pray that you'd bring everyone back to the evening service. And I pray that you'd be with us through the week to worship you and glorify you and honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do the question you get done.
Yes. Can you do it? Let your mom come and get off the stage. All right, come on up. Step around. This is Helen. Okay. We built one for the special music. That's a LaRue. Miss LaRue's house. Mrs. LaRue. He sang it today.
Okay.
And then God's offering me to ask the usher, please come forward. And then either you pray or the rest of the
I know.